Everybody be quiet. I'm going to be funny now.
Family Man. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
I am tired. We just got back from Alaska on Monday, and we left. I think I mentioned, last time because I was barely struggling to stay ahead of the game, but we left at 1:45 in the morning to start our trip. Out there, drove 2.5 hours to Chicago O'Hare, nightmare of a time trying to get in. We finally got there, had a great time while we were there. My son Cal and I, who's 15, we hiked a glacier, Matanuska Glacier out there. We did a little plane trip. And then I ate the biggest corn dog you ever have seen in your life. I'm not talking like, you know, like the foot longer. Child's play. We're talking one as big as your forearm. It was so big. They had a food truck come and they said, here's the little menu, and it had a little, you know, corn dog, hot dog, reindeer dog. And I'm like, I'll do the corn dog. They said, do you want the small one or the big one? I'm like, the big one, of course. And I mean, I've never seen one that was a good almost 18 inches long. I thought it would kill me. I thought they were going to have to pump my stomach. It was the greasiest thing I've ever had in my life.
I did not know that they had world famous corn dogs in Alaska.
I don't think they're known for that. I mean, when you Google it, I don't think that will like pop up as the top, you know, it is pretty much glaciers and nothingness. You know, I mean, it's wilderness. It's wilderness up there. Those people are tough. They are tough. They are way tougher than you, Scott. Way tougher than me. And I don't know about Jeremy, who we have with us today, but I'm sure they're way tougher than him, too. They don't smile or laugh up there, you know. We pulled in one morning. No kidding. It was 33 degrees. It was sunny, but 33 degrees on the car thermometer. We pull in, and they're setting up the outdoor volleyball net. And I saw at least one or two people in shorts and short sleeves at 33 degrees. You know, I mean, they are weird. Tough. Those people are tough. I mean, they all talk about how they were almost attacked by a grizzly bear and had to kill it out of self-defense with their hands, you know, and that's just the girls. So it was amazing. So we got back. I was telling Scott, I usually sleep to about, I don't know, 7:15. I'm usually up by 7:15. The first morning back, I slept till 11:30, and I had to drag my carcass out of the bed. Yesterday, I think I was 9:30, and today I was like 8:20, and I was dragging.
That was from all the bear wrestling you were doing there?
That was from just the layover. And so tomorrow morning, we drive out to South Dakota, and then next week, we go to Wyoming, and then we get a little break, at least 1 week break. And so I'm looking forward to that. But it's been good. It's been fun meeting all the dads. And I'll tell you, I hope you all are encouraged, because we dads we're just facing the same thing. Whether a bear is after you or not, it is all the same. Being a dad is a lot harder than wrestling a grizzly bear. Hey, Scott, before we introduce Jeremy, I know Jeremy's hanging in the wings. Jeremy, you're allowed to say anything at any time. But Scott, last time we left, you were about ready to do a colonoscopy. You know, we were talking about, you know, how you should, I think my last words to you were bottoms up, how did it go? How was your first experience?
The drugs were good. I like the drugs a lot. The lady, what did you call it?
Anesthesiologist?
Well, the anesthesia they gave me was, awesome. She said it was the same stuff Michael Jackson got hooked on. And I was like, I can see why. I could do with this stuff.
Can I take some home? Yeah.
But the night before was the horrible part. Getting up at 4:30 in the morning or whatever it was to drink stuff was just not fun. So I swore I'd never do that again a lot of times in the middle of the night. But suppose I'd rather deal with that than getting cancer.
Yeah.
So I made it. I'm alive. I'm fine.
But, and now even worse, that lies ahead, not worse, more extreme, is you have a wedding like in a week and a half, right?
Yeah. 10 days from today as we speak. And, and you missed all the fun. So last week, my daughter, to make a really long story nice and short and sweet, she's been making her wedding dress.
Right, well, right. We've kind of getting the updates.
She bought a new one last week.
Did she get to the, did she get to the point where like one's arm was 2 feet longer than the other, or just she's like, I can't do this.
I can't go into all the details. There was a part in the back that basically got messed up, and she can probably finish it, but it was going to take her every waking moment from then until the wedding to do it.
Right, right.
And it was just going to be way too much stress. So she'll probably finish it at some point. And anyway, so they went dress shopping and after a, and you know, like a 24-hour meltdown first, and then they went dress shopping. So.
Wow.
Maybe it's for sale now at an outlet store somewhere.
Yeah.
That's right. Or, you know, you could have $1,000 curtains.
Yeah.
Or a drop cloth to paint, you know. Yeah. And so, hey, all part of the wedding game. Well, hey, we've got a special guest with us, Jeremy Nunez, comedian, funny guy, family man, Jeremy Nunez. We had him on the show, I don't know how long ago, but this is the first time since I met him that I've seen his face. And I'm not disappointed because we're doing this on Zoom. We met. Jeremy, where was it that we met? I can remember the building, but I don't remember the location.
It was Bethalto, Illinois, which is just outside of St. Louis.
And Jeremy and I were both at a men's event. He was the talent and I was the... I was the follow-up act, but Jeremy is a comedian. And Jeremy, why don't you just begin by telling us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Okay. So I wasn't sure if I could jump in earlier or not. You're talking about Alaska. So I got married in 2013 and we actually honeymooned in Anchorage, Alaska.
Really?
And, you know,
I did not see any plaques that said anything like that.
Yeah, but we had the reindeer sausage, which was fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, took all that in. So did some glacier hiking, all that. So got married 2013. And then in, 2015, welcomed our first son, Eli. And then our daughter, Mia, she is 2. So we got 6 and 2 right now. Everybody asks, are we going to have more? And I'm like, I don't think I can get any balder. So
I hear you. Well, you're a comedian. You know, I don't know many comedians. How do you become a comedian?
Well, so for me, it was something I had always wanted to do. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, having the nerve to get up in front of people to everybody be quiet. I'm going to be funny now. So I'd always wanted to do it. And in the small town world, you know, sort of the tradition is the son sort of takes over for his father's business. It just keeps kind of being passed down. Right. And this is true. My family owns the trailer park in our town. And so my dad really wanted me to kind of take over management of the trailer park. But, you know,
My parents wanted the same thing.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, Dad, I'd like that, but I'd really like to do the stand-up comedy thing. And I think I can make just as much money, tens of dollars.
Right. And so then you've been doing it since then. And then 2020 came and nobody anticipated how that was going to affect us. But I assume that it was terrible for you.
Yeah, it was rough. You know, so in 2019, my Dry Bar special released. And then in early 2020, my Amazon special released. And then from there, boy, every week, my calendar is filling up and, you know, making more money than I'd ever had. I was like, oh, finally, after all these years, it's finally coming together. Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
boom,
the boom. And so it's now slowly starting to dig out a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been rough. Luckily, you know, I've had, you know, some royalties, some residuals to at least kind of to skirt by on. So we made it through. But yeah, looking forward to consistently doing shows again.
So what did your show look like? I mean, I saw it, but you know, I know there's some guys out here who are, you know, they're starting to dig out too. Their churches are starting to look for events. Like I saw you at a men's event, which is a great use of your skills. But what does the show look like? I mean, what could they expect? You don't have to be funny right now. You just
So generally do an hour show. Yeah, I can do less if people want me to, but yeah, generally it's about an hour show, full stand up, packed full of laughs, clean and enjoyable for all ages. You know, it's a lot of material about being the small town mayor and being married and raising kids. So what I say is it's clean enough that kids can watch and enjoy it, but it's not a kid show per se. You know, it's kind of geared toward adult senses of humor, but of course a clean act. And then as we wrap up and kind of bring the show to an end, I do a pretty powerful testimony and kind of tell the story of how I got to where I am. And people say jaw dropping and opened your heart up too, I think.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, I've never talked to a comedian about this, but this has maybe nothing to do with you because I don't remember this being in your show this way. But, you know, is it harder now being a comedian in 2021? Because, you know, everybody's so sensitive about everything. You know, like, well, you mentioned, you know, this people group, or you can't even be funny anymore in certain areas. I don't know if you found that to be something that you're dealing with or.
Yeah, quite a bit. And it's even stuff that historically has been, you know, church clean and church acceptable. Now I get people go, even like a comedy club audience who's heard and seen everything. Yeah. I do jokes. I used to do it at church. I did, you know, sometimes I don't know if you've heard the latest thing you can't say, but I'll say, well, you guys know about, but, and people, whoa, you can't say you guys, you can't.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So you don't like in the middle of the show say, honey, can you go get me a glass of water? Some lady sitting in the front.
Yeah. No, anything like that. I mean, get some tomatoes thrown at me, probably.
Yeah. 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 Well, you're not only a funny guy in person, but you've also written a book. You already kind of mentioned it, but it's about being a mayor in a small town. I was able to kind of read through parts of it, and it was super, super funny. Why don't you just tell us how that all started?
So the book itself, you know, it had been on my mind. I don't know if it was, you know, the Lord speaking to me or what, to write a book for quite some time. And actually, I don't know if you remember, but when you and I encountered and you talked about how you had written books, I was really kind of pressing you, getting all the answers I could and all the info I could about what you did and how you did it sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, everybody, I keep running into more and more people that have written books and telling me how I should write a book and what to do. So I wasn't sure exactly what the book would be about. So as my time as mayor came to an end, everybody kept telling me, oh, you have so many funny stories and there's so many funny things about stuff that happened to you, stuff that happened in the boardroom. You got to write a book about it. I was like, maybe that's what I'll do. But then I never really had time, you know, similar to you, just running around all the time, to, you know, do event here, event there, you know, in your downtime, you want to kind of just chill out and spend some time with the family again. But so then COVID happens. And then, you know, no shows. I had all the time in the world. I was like, what else am I going to do? You know, spend time with my family. Don't want to do that. So,
all right.
But yeah, so I wrote the book and it's gotten pretty solid reviews. It's a comedy book. It's basically a funny retelling of everything that happened as I was, you know, running my hometown. And people love it. I actually just got the Reviewer's Choice Award for Midwest Book Review. Mm. So they said it was fantastic.
Well, you know, the thing I liked about it is, and it's not like a yuck a minute kind of book. It's really a very warm hearted look at small town America. I mean, you just kind of get pulled into being part of this town because you talk about all the different people. You give their names. I don't know if they're their real names or not, but you know, you kind of get to know them. You get to kind of know their personality and it feels like you're a part of something. And so I thought it wasn't just a comedian book. It was a warm-hearted, lovely book on, you know, just being part of a town. And, you know, even for, I always think of the, there's a Andy Griffith episode where this guy comes into the town and nobody knows who he is, but he knows everybody. And they're like, how do you, you know, who is this guy? You know, he called me by a first name. He knew I was having trouble with my sciatic and I've never met this guy. And to come to find out, this guy, he's been getting the local newspaper why he lives in the big city. And he just kind of fell in love with the town. Well, that's how I kind of felt like reading your book. Like I kind of knew these people just by reading your stories. And I thought it was really good, but it didn't have a name at the time. It was just called Mayor Book. Does it have a title now, Jeremy?
It's untitled. No, I'm just kidding.
No, yeah.
So it's called You Can't Write City Hall. So kind of a play on the phrase, you can't fight City Hall, but it's you can't write City Hall, as in you can't make this stuff up. And right, so, right. As you said, people have said, boy, it just really pulls you in. You know, there's the humor throughout it, but at the same time, you get pulled into these stories of, oh, what's going to happen with this guy? And is this lady, you know, what's going on here? You know, so it definitely pulls you in with the story. I just kind of wrote it, you know, and you throw stuff to the wall and it sticks sometimes. That's kind of what happened there.
Right, right. Well, I think it did stick. It did do that. And if you're looking for, you know, just something that's, again, just a really fun read that you're going to be pulled into and feel like you're a part of something, I think this book is it. So you say things are getting more back to normal now?
Yeah, it seems to be. You know, I was used to working every single week I was somewhere. And then now I'd say it's probably 2 or 3 weeks out of the month I'm somewhere now. Mm-hmm. So it's starting to pull through a little bit. What's it looking like for you?
We're in our busy season, so it looks fairly normal right now. You know, I don't think the crowds are quite pre-COVID crowds, but it's feeling pretty normal. I'm tired, and that's a good sign. So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, you know, to book an event, what kind of events have you worked at? You know, that they might. I mean, because I'm doubting anybody owns like a comedy club who's looking for a comedian, but there are other things that they could use your talents in.
Yeah, so I've done a lot of fundraisers. So that could be, you know, sort of like crisis pregnancy centers. You know, I'm a pro-lifer, I assume you as well. And so, you know, I do a lot of events for stuff like that. Fundraisers for, you know, Christian schools is another big one I do a lot of. And then even fundraisers, I'll do stuff for just little stuff that happens in a small town that needs a little money. So sometimes it's a little league team, but you know, they sell tickets and we'll do a show or, you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, just church events in general. So we do, whether it's an outreach thing or, you know, sometimes like I've got one this week, it's a Mother's Day event, you know, all the ladies kind of come and enjoy themselves. The same thing for Father's Day. Yeah. A little bit of anything, date nights, stuff like that for churches. And then of course, company Christmas parties is a big one as well. So,
So, Dad, I'm just going to give you my little Family Man stamp of approval, give you the thumbs up that if you're looking for someone that, you know, kind of shares the same beliefs that you do, Jeremy's the guy. Jeremy, you can check him out. Jeremy, I'm looking behind you and they can't see you because, you know, this is an audio thing. But I see the Dynamite Drop-In podcast. What is that about?
Well, it probably wouldn't interest you, but it's a podcast about pro wrestling. And so we have a weekly show. We recap the wrestling
about
show.
About pro wrestling?
Yeah. That's the pro wrestling show is called Dynamite. And so we kind of recap what happened on Dynamite. And it's called Dynamite Drop-In. So sort of.
So you've got a pro wrestling kind of bent?
Yeah.
So who's your favorite? I don't even know any of these people. Since Hulk Hogan is probably no longer doing it, I just am like kind of out of it.
Yeah, he kind of makes a special appearance and comes out in waves, and that's about it anymore.
Is that it? With the Kane?
There is a wrestler named Kane, though, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Wow. And
so who is my favorite now? Oh, I like Daniel Bryan, I guess, might be my guy.
His name is Daniel? Like, what kind of – I thought they all had, like, Ripper Bryan or, you know, the Terminator or – Daniel Bryan, he didn't even sound like he could be tough. I mean, so, I met people in Alaska with tougher names than that.
You got to have somebody with a name like Moose.
Exactly. So how'd you get into that? I mean, is that like did you like that from as a youth Or is this thing, you know, you have this pent up regression that you're sitting on the couch at 2 a.m. in the morning, just sitting there like, I don't have anything to do. And then you turn on the wrestling channel.
Well, you know, yeah, growing up, I'd always watch it. And then it was actually my pro wrestling. I was a pro wrestler. That was sort of my profession. And prior to comedy.
You were a pro wrestler?
Yeah.
And how come I've never heard this? So you've been a pro wrestler, a mayor, and an author, and a comedian.
Yes. And...
you also sang in nightclubs Starlight Moonbeam.
If you want a quick funny story, I also to make a little money on the side, I was umpiring high school baseball here in Illinois.
There you go.
And they have a system where they can the coaches can rate and review you based on like a secret code number that the coaches are given, and then the best reviewed umpires then get assigned like the state playoff games and such. So,
and the other ones become comedians. That's
right. And so one coach asks me for my review number, you know, so he's like, I love to help you guys out, but okay, great. So his team wins by like the 10 run rule very quickly. So I go home to check out how he rated me. Cause I figure, well, he's gotta be in a good mood because right. You know, his team won by a lot. I didn't cost him a game or anything. And I look and he hated me.
Really?
And so it was, and he's the only person that ever reviewed me. So I am on record, the worst umpire in the state of Illinois.
Wow. So I'm going back to this because Scott, have you ever done anything fun like that? Maybe I should ask you, Scott, is there some kind of secret, you know, backstory that you have that I don't know about?
I have little tidbits of interesting things here and there, but nothing so grand as like wrestling careers and stuff.
A professional wrestler, I would forget the comedy thing and just go that direction.
I umpired one game for my boys who in their failed year of Little League baseball because literally no one else there would do it, and I needed the $20 they were going to pay me for.
That's
it.
Right.
And I stunk so bad that like I missed one of the pitches and just called it a strike. And the other coach was like, "What? You didn't even look at it?" And I was like, "Fine, it's a ball, whatever."
Hey, it's only $20.
And then the other coach started yelling at me, and I was like, "Look, I don't need this. I can go home." I literally said that. So I'm sure I would be worse than you if they did reviews of umpires here, man.
So I can't just get past this pro wrestling thing. So,
yeah.
So how'd you start that? I mean, did your dad ever say to you, can you just get a job, Jeremy? Can you just get a job?
No, he was always very supportive. It was everybody That's else awesome. Would kind of, they'd always kind of pull me aside and be, hey, you know, your dad may be behind this, but I don't think it's wise. Why don't you, you know, you're a smart guy. You could be in a cubicle somewhere.
And, That's right.
But, you know, the wrestling, I'll tell you a quick story about the wrestling thing. So back when I was doing it, I got into wrestling school and I was doing some live shows and some names wrestling fans would be impressed with trained me. You haven't heard of them, I know. But so
name them anyway, because there might be some wrestling fans out here.
So it's trained with like Les Stature, Shark Boy.
Now those are wrestling names.
There you go.
Daniel.
CM Punk I worked out with a couple times. But so this was back when nobody was using tables yet. You know, now somebody gets thrown through a table every week, right? So in my match, I was in the main event, and it was going to be the big deal was, you know, nobody knew, but I was going to get thrown through a table. And
Hold it. You mean this is predetermined? You're kidding me.
My whole world is rocked.
I know it.
And so, you know, you kind of set up the table as you normally would, like you're going to sit down and eat at it, right? Or right. You can kind of prop it up diagonal in the turnbuckle. Uh-huh. And I didn't want to go that route because that was, you know, still kind of new. And back then they always told me, if you do it that way, you can easily get a concussion because you'll bang your head on the top of the table there. So I was, okay, wow. So let's set it up normal. And they can just kind of slam me through it. So the referee gets knocked out and he's not moving. You ever seen this, Todd? It's unbelievable. And so he's knocked out. And then, you know, here come the
bad
guys.
That is always a bad sign. Yeah. That is always a bad sign.
Whenever the ref goes down, you're like, oh, here That's we right. go.
So, yeah.
But so here come the bad guys and they bring the table in. And I've got my back to where they're setting up the table. And the guy that's kind of, you know, punching me in the face, I'm using my air quotes, punching me in the face, right? Uh-huh. he's laughing. And I was like, what's so funny? And he's like, he's giving me the play-by-play. He's like, they're struggling to get it into the ring. And he's like,
so this oh, is no. all happening while he's beating you?
Yeah. And he's like, oh no. I'm like, what? He's like, the legs just broke off the table. And he's like, they're good. I'm going to have to throw you into the turnbuckle with it. I'm sorry. That's the only way. He's like, okay. So, you know, so it went off without a hitch. He slams me through it. And then, you know, the referee miraculously wakes up as the bad guy sweep all the broken wood chips out of the ring.
And the crowd is going bonkers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Jeremy, you've got this is an amazing life that I just feel like stunned. First of all, that this is planned. Shocking to me. What else are you going to tell me? That the guy who puts the something in his glove is, you know, where they put the bar in his taped hand is, it's not real? Are you? Wow, that's really neat. And I'm sure there are some guys who would like to listen to your podcast. So it's called Dynamite Drop-In. Is that how they would find it?
Yep, it's Dynamite Drop-In. You know, so Dynamite is on Wednesday nights. And so we generally record Wednesday night or Thursday morning, and it comes out right thereafter. And it's me and Lee Hardin. So if there's any other Dry Bar Comedy fans, he's a Dry Bar Comedy comedian also. Mm. So Dynamite Drop-In, your weekly pro wrestling and comedy podcast.
Do you do like any of those? I'm coming after you, Daniel! Any of that kind of stuff? Did you have like a yell, or did you... I mean, could you rip off your shirt right now and do something for us or no?
Well, my character seemed to, he'd been hitting the head one too many times. So he went and all that. And so my gimmick was, you know, I would cut the promo for like three sentences. I would make sense. And then I'd go off on a rabbit trail about like how great chocolate cake is and it's delicious. And then I'd end with, I think I've made my point.
That is awesome. I wonder if like we would interview just random dads if they'd all have cool stories like you, or maybe you're the only guy who's done all these things.
I don't know. It seems like everybody's got to have some sort of story back there.
I don't know. I've never met a professional wrestler before. You might be the top once. Of the list.
What's that, Scott?
I kissed a supermodel once.
Oh,
you kissed a supermodel once. Yes. Like who'd you kiss?
Have I told that story on here before?
No.
This is like my big, like, if I'm one of those games where like there's five things about me and you got to guess which ones aren't true or whatever. This is the one I always win with because nobody would believe it. I won't tell the whole story, but I kissed Elle McPherson one time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who she is? Wow. That's impressive.
I don't think so.
You're a godly man, Todd.
Was this a one? Where do you... thrown to the floor quickly after by some...
Astonishingly not. That was the amazing part. Okay, fine. I'll tell the quick version.
Okay.
I was a college student at NYU, and she was on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue multiple times, so that's why I'm kind of surprised you don't know her. But
Don't know.
You apparently weren't hiding those when you were...
I was reading my Bible that day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and what's funny is that I was... this is stupid. I can't believe I'm telling this story on here.
Well, we got it. You got to go through now. You've already.
I know.
Your wife doesn't listen, Scott.
It's not quite. She knows, and it's not quite as exciting as I make it sound when I first say it. But she was doing an autograph thing in New York for her latest swimsuit calendar, and my roommate from my undergrad years. This was graduate school. My roommate from my undergrad years had always had the Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar on his wall. And I thought, oh, Steve would love to have her autograph. So, and no kidding, I actually went and got her to sign one of her calendars for my old roommate, which I imagine she probably didn't believe me when I said it was for my friend. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Like we do either.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was this little kid right in front of me in line, and he... This is so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm saying this. Because I just get... It's ridiculous. This little kid who's like, I don't know, 10 years old or 11, whatever. He asks her if he can kiss her. And she's like, oh, sure, on the cheek. And so he leans forward and gives her a kiss on the cheek. And I just like lost my mind at this moment. Okay?
And then you did the same thing.
Temporary insanity. Because then he walks away and I get up there and I'm like, so do I get
a baby?
So I just, the words just come out of my mouth. So do I get a kiss too? I fully expecting her to say, sorry, that was just for him. She says, well, on the other cheek. And I'm like, okay. So I lean forward, kiss her on the other cheek. And then I'm expecting her bouncers to just take me and throw me out the window. And they didn't. Yeah. I mean, they didn't. So I have that in my past where I was not ugly enough that a supermodel would have me hurt for asking to kiss her, but it really wasn't anything salacious or whatever. It just, you know, I floated back to my dorm room, like basically shouting to everyone in New York City, I kissed McPherson.
There you go. There you go. Anyway. Wow. This show is, I don't think we've ever had a show this good before.
I didn't mean to hijack
this
your
is like a tell-all
here,
show. This is a tell-all show. Well, Jeremy, before we close out here, I just know some guys are going to be listening to your Dynamite Drop-In podcast. They're going to want to get your book. They're going to want to contact you. What's the best way?
Wait. I even looked it up.
Scott?
No. Jeremy, this is for Jeremy. Jeremy's on Prime Video. You can rent his video on Prime or buy it. You can even buy the audio CD. I mean, it's on Amazon. He's like a real star here. You got to pump this up
for
real.
Okay, there you go. So go to Amazon Prime or go to Amazon and you can check it out. Okay. Just tell us it all, Jeremy.
Yeah, so the special is on Amazon Prime. It's called Who's With Me? And some folks, you know, they don't want to send their money to Amazon. Well, the special is also distributed to ChristianCinema.com. So if you'd rather spend your money there, you can do that. And please leave a great review. On Amazon, I think it's maintaining a 5-star review with 24 or 25 reviews currently. And then,
well, that's because your mother keeps stuffing the ballot box.
She keeps refreshing.
That's right. He's amazing.
I did see one from my uncle on there, and I was like, I wish you didn't show your name.
I know it. That's what my mom does. I'm so proud of him.
I think Christian Cinema, I think there's 2 reviews. One's 5-star and one's 3. And the guy said, I've seen better. So
he's really not that funny.
So it's called Who's With Me on Amazon Prime or Christian Cinema. You mentioned Dynamite Drop-In Podcast. And then, if you're a Dry Bar Comedy fan, I'm on there also. And then, of course, the book, which officially released as we sit here, it released yesterday. And it's called You Can't Write City Hall, available Amazon, Walmart, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble. And you can learn more at youcantwritecityhall.com.
And if they just want to get contact you like directly and maybe schedule you to come and speak at their event, or how would they do that?
Yes. Yeah, so my website is jeremynunes.com, N-U-N-E-S. And right there on the front page, there's video clips and a link to get a free quote right there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, Jeremy, thanks for spending some morning time with us. This was a really fun show. I just feel like I've been enlightened in so many things. I can't believe they plan it all out.
I have ruined your childhood now.
I know it. Okay. Well, hey, I hope things continue to pick up and that God would use you in lots of different areas here. But thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, that is always interesting to me to talk to just regular dads, because regular dads have amazing stories. And Dad, if you've got a story that maybe we should talk about, would you contact us at familyman@familymanweb.com? But we forgot to mention that in just a couple of days is Mother's Day. And I know you don't have to worry about your mom, because your wife is taking care of your mother. She's already got a card. It's probably in the mail already. But make sure your kids remember your wife, and go and pick something up and let your wife know that you're so thankful that she's the mother of your children. And then have a great week. If you remember, pray for us as we'll be traveling to South Dakota. We got 711 miles. It is the fastest trip ever. It's amazing how quick it is from where I live to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. But I sure would appreciate your prayers. So have a great week. Do something special for your wife. Make sure you, whatever you do, don't have her cook lunch on Sunday or dinner, and take her out. Treat her like a queen, and do it because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week. That was like the greatest show ever. We had colonoscopies and pro wrestling and supermodels.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
It's like the perfect storm of podcasts.
Very cool.
I think it's fun.
I think I've made my point.